It is so good to be back in the Lord's house here this evening. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, let's not lose this excitement that we have to be in the Lord's house. Let's never let that leave. Let's let it grow. And just that desire and enthusiasm to be in the Lord's house should never get old. And it's so true that sometimes it's not until something is taken away that we realize how important and valuable it is to us. I think we could all say that in this matter of coming to church and being with God's people, you know, we can just get in the rut of it, and really, until it's taken away, we don't realize how valuable and important it is. So I trust that we'll always have this excitement and enthusiasm, and if it's real in our lives, it will always be there. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. A couple comments tonight about not being used to being back in church reminded me of a cartoon I saw recently of a church setting and a grandma, nothing against grandmas, but a grandma walking in and everybody kind of sheepishly looking at her. And the caption, well, she had her pajamas on and her bunny slippers on. And the caption was, I forget her name, but so-and-so forgot or got used to church at home because she came in her jammies and all that kind of stuff. That reminded me, Mr. Meyer's testimony reminded me of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in our text here tonight, the Apostle Paul is knowingly nearing the end of his life. He is writing this epistle to Timothy from prison. And this 2 Timothy is the last epistle that he wrote, the Apostle Paul. And really, it's the culmination of his heart and his message to Timothy, his son in the faith. And it is his last epistle. And he does not for a moment hint to Timothy that perhaps after all, it would be better to not give oneself so drastically to the work of the Lord, not to be so self-sacrificing, that perhaps it would be better to compromise to some extent and thus avoid persecution for Christ's name's sake. There is nothing like that in Paul's exhortation. He exhorts him to endure his share of suffering and persecution for Christ's sake. And it is a sad Christianity that revels in the fact that Christ has purchased eternal life for them through terrible suffering, yet is not willing to endure hardship, affliction, or persecution for the Savior. Paul's message to Timothy is climaxing at the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. And I'm seeking tonight to dovetail these two passages together because I think they go right on top of each other. And it really reveals Paul's heart, what was most important and dear to him as he neared the end and what he longed for Timothy to remember. And I'm sure that these words and this message was etched into Timothy's mind as he served the Lord the rest of his days, remembering what the great apostle Paul urged and challenged him. Let's read our text here tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 16. A familiar passage here, but it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I would like to focus our attention on the importance of Bible preaching. Paul is strongly charging Timothy to preach the word. Let nothing stop you. You can sense his attitude and his and vigor in these words. Preach the word. Let nothing stop you. Make the preaching of the word of God the central part of your ministry. There is an essential role that the preaching of the word of God plays in the existence and success of the church and God's people. And Paul's charge reveals the importance of Bible preaching in this church and for believers today. And imagine Paul coming to the end of his life, and this is what he urges and charges to his son in the faith, Timothy, to preach the word. The preaching of the word is important, first of all, because of the power of the word of God. The preaching of the word is important because of the power of the word of God. Oh, I love Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We've probably, many of us memorized that verse. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful. I love the analogies we see throughout the Bible of the power of the word of God. It uses the analogy of fire. Boy, fire is a pretty powerful thing, isn't it? You may have seen that fire that took place in East Troy not long ago. But it can completely wreck and damage. And it's just a terrible thing. But the word of God is powerful like that fire. Or it's like a hammer, the Bible says, that breaks the rock in pieces. You take that rock is a solid, hard thing, but the hammer can break that rock. And the word of God is powerful. The Bible tells us it's powerful. And here in our text tonight, we see it's powerful, first of all, because it is the inspired word of God. In verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as this leads into his charge to preach the word, Paul is reminding Timothy that this is the inspired word of God. This is a great doctrine of the Bible, the inspiration of the word of God. It's inspired, which literally means God breathed or breathed out from God. You know, I'm speaking here tonight and using my breath to utter words. And the Bible is the word of God that he uttered. It's his, has his breath upon it. And it was breathed out from God. You know, the word of God is just not another old book. No, it's the inspired word of God that has great power with it because it is the inspired word of God. I'm sure there's a multitude of definitions on what it means to be inspired, but in this may not be, you know, I think it gives us the gist of the point here. Biblical inspiration is that activity of the Holy Spirit through which he mysteriously filled the human spirit of the biblical writers and guided them so that there arose an infallible spirit-wrought writing, a sacred record, a book of God with which the Spirit of God evermore organically unites himself. The inspired word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration. And the charge to preach the word so powerfully is so powerful because it is based on the inspired word of God. You know, it'd be foolish for us to stand up here, a preacher to stand up and to take your time just to utter his own words. But when it's the word of God, when it's the inspired word of God that hopefully is going forth, it has great power to it. Have you ever been told by somebody, well, the Bible's just written by some man? I hear that often out talking to people. And it's important to understand the balance here. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, you can turn there. This is a great verse on this matter, but 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 helps us with understanding that. Yes, human instruments were involved, but they were the mouthpiece through which we receive the word of God. Yes, it was written by man, but they, as we see here, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just somebody writing down their own thoughts. No, it was God, the Holy Spirit, moving them and carrying them along to write God's word. And let me emphasize here that in verse 16, it begins by saying all scripture. And that ought to be the mindset that we have in our minds. The entire word of God is inspired. It's the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But we also see the word of God is powerful because of its profit. It's profitable. Because it is profitable. In verse 16 it says it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It has an effect upon our life. And any one of us can attest to this. The effect that the word of God has had on our life. Maybe through the preaching or something, we heard the word of God and it changed us. And the word of God, the Bible tells us, is profitable. And it lists different ways in which it's profitable. It says it's profitable for doctrine. You know, profitable, it means it's something that is accomplishing something. It has a purpose. There's something good that's coming out of it. And it's profitable for doctrine. It teaches us what is right. It teaches us the truths of God and of His Word. It gives us the belief system that is a reflection of God that we need to follow. And that's why it's important to be regularly under the Word of God. You know, if we are not regularly under the influence and the preaching of the Word of God, then we're not going to have a very good doctrinal base. We're not going to be grounded in the Word of God like we ought. And the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for teaching us what's right. And it says for reproof. It's profitable for reproof, for convicting, for refuting error or sin in our life. And you know what? We need that because wrong thinking gets in. Sin gets into our life. And we need the power of the Word of God to convict us, to reproof, that reproof to convict us about the way in which we are going. You know, when you hear the Bible preached, or maybe when you read it and you're convicted, your eyes are open to an error in your life. That's the idea here. And you know, that ought to be something that we regularly experience in our lives. That reproof. Because we need it. There's regularly that work that needs to be done of correcting error in our lives or sin, dealing with sin. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And the idea here is of setting up straight. Setting up straight or setting something right or correcting a mistake. And when I was thinking of this, I remembered a shed that we built. I don't even remember if I helped with it, but I remember hearing about it, that they were working on the shed and they'd put in some work on it. They'd gotten the walls standing up and that was it. And they went home and came back the next day. And I don't know exactly what happened, but when they got there, the walls were all down. They'd fallen down. I think maybe it was a strong wind or something that had blown them down and they just hadn't braced them properly. And when they got back, they had to set up right. They had to set up straight. They had to correct what had taken place. And that's the idea of here of for correction. It's profitable for correction, correcting. You know, when you're trying to train someone to do a new work or to do something, sometimes you have to go back over their work and make it right. And that's what the Word of God does. It sets things right. It makes it correct. And that is what the Word of God is profitable for, correcting us, setting us up straight, setting us on the right path. And you know, without the anchor of the Word of God in our life, you know, we are going to be all over the place. But the Word of God is that tool God uses to correct us, to get us back on track, to set us up straight again. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That idea of training and teaching in God's ways. The Word of God is powerful because it's inspired and because it's profitable. But the Word of God, we see, thirdly, is powerful because of the of its purpose. Look at verse 17. It says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's a powerful work of God and of the Word of God. Making the man of God, making you and I, the believer, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect is the idea of complete. And it ties the truths together here. Perfect. It ties in with thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that idea of thoroughly furnished is to completely outfit, to fully furnish. And my mom tells the story that the first house that her and my dad lived in after they got married was a house that they rented for $75 a month. Don't you wish you could rent a house for $75 a month? And it was fully furnished. Was that pretty common back then? Does anybody remember those days when you could rent a house and it was fully furnished? All right. Not so much today. But that's the idea here. Everything was there. It was completely outfitted. It had the beds, it had the couches, it had the plates, it had the cups, it had the silverware. You didn't need anything else. It was fully furnished. And the Word of God is that it has that effect. It thoroughly furnishes us as believers. It completely outfits us. It makes us into the person that we ought to be. And kind of with this phrase, thoroughly furnished, the word was commonly used to refer to a machine or an item that was sold that was in good condition. It was capable of performing the service expected. You know, when you buy something on Craigslist, you're expecting that it's going to do what you bought it to do. All right? There's a purpose that you're buying it, and you're expecting it to do that. And the Word of God thoroughly furnishes the man of God. He fully equips the believer to be capable of performing the service expected. You know, God expects something out of us. And the Word of God is the instrument that He uses to furnish us, to make us into that person that we ought to be. And you can't help but realize how important the Word of God is and ought to be in a believer's life. To hear the preaching of God regularly, to study the Word of God personally and daily, that ought to be such a part of our life. The Word of God is essential to the success of your life, to being the person that God wants you to be. It's so important. So we see the power of the Word of God. And the preaching of the Word is important because there's power in the Word of God. You know, Bible preaching is based on the power of the Word of God. And in that light, Paul moves on to give Timothy an important charge. And that's in chapter 4 in verse 1 and 2. And tonight, secondly, I want us to notice the preaching of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Secondly, the preaching of the Word of God. And without the power of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God would have none effect. There's power, and that gives the preaching of the Word of God value and importance. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore. So based on what has just come before, Paul is giving to Timothy this charge. The charge is given to Timothy. The word of God, it's powerful, it's profitable, it's inspired, it transforms. Therefore, take this charge to preach the word of God. We see this charge, the preaching of the word of God, is a command that is given. In verse 2, it says, Paul says, preach the word. That's the idea of proclaim, to proclaim as a herald. And that's what the preaching of the word of God is to be. Proclaiming or preaching or proclaiming as a herald. You think of just shouting out through a city, the herald, city herald. And he would shout out the news or he'd shout out important information. And that's what the preacher is to do, to preach, to declare the word of God. Preaching is the authoritative declaring of the truth with the intent to persuade. And Paul is commanding Timothy to preach the word. It's a command that is given to preach the word. And this is something that is very, very important. Paul is stressing to Timothy this importance of preaching the word of God. There is power and authority in the word of God. He's saying, make this your first priority. Don't worry about anything else. Preach the word of God. You know, we can turn to a lot of other means. And the preaching of the word of God needs to be the priority. And that's what Paul is saying. In a church, the preaching of God's word needs to be the priority. There is something supernatural that takes place when people get under the preaching of the word of God. A person's needs can be met in a moment through the preaching of God's word. A person's thinking can be corrected. Their unbelief can vanish through the preaching of God's word. And God has placed a high priority, and here the Apostle Paul is placing a high priority on the word of God, preaching the word of God. He's saying, don't stray from it. Preach the word. And having sound doctrine, as it says in chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's saying, preach the word. Have the opposite of where the last days and the apostasy is going to go. He's saying, preach the word. Don't preach that which is going to tickle the ears of your audience. He's saying, preach the word. Don't preach a message based on what people want to hear. Preach the word of God. The preaching of the word of God, we see here in our text, is to be done in every season. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. The idea of instant there is always on duty. It's like a soldier at his post. He can't leave it. He's on duty, he's there at his post, fulfilling his responsibility. And the preacher is to be instant. He's supposed to be at his post, always on duty. He's never to relinquish that responsibility to preach the word of God, to give up the responsibility that he has in season and out of season. And I've heard pastors say this so many times over the years, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, he needs to preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. Be instant, in season, out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular, when it's what people want to hear or when it's not what people want to hear. We need to preach the word of God, all scripture. The preaching we see here is to accomplish three things. It says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, we looked at that earlier, but the idea of there to convict. The preaching of God's word ought to convict us. It ought to bring forth evidence that shows we have done wrong. While I was studying, came across this picture of the And it uses, this analogy was the victorious arms of truth, seizing upon the guilty and leading them to confession. So the truth, the preaching of God's word ought to help us realize the truth, and which leads us to doing right, to confessing and getting right. It brings that conviction in our lives. And a lot of preaching today is afraid to convict, to bring conviction, and to apply the truth of God's word so that it convicts and shows us the way that we need to go. But it ought to reprove. It ought to rebuke. The sharp rebuke with the goal to correct us. It needs to reprove. It needs to rebuke. But then an important aspect is the preaching of God's word ought to exhort the believer. It ought to encourage. It ought to lift up. It can't be one or without the other. It needs to be bring conviction. But at the same time, it needs to exhort and lift up God's people. There's a balance that is struck here with the preaching of God's word. The preaching of the word, you know, it is the solution for the hour. Whatever the need of the hour is, the preaching of the word of God is the remedy. And we need to have a convincement about that. Our church ought to be known as a church that loves the preaching of God's word, where young men come out and have a fire in their soul to preach the word of God. Look with me at a couple passages or right around our text here tonight. We don't have time to look at all of this, but this passage, our text tonight, is in this a greater context where Paul is dealing with the perilous days that Timothy was going to be in. I mean, Paul thought he was in the perilous times, okay? We think we are too, even more so. It says, "This know also," in chapter 3 and verse 1, "that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he follows that by saying, "Preach the word." The answer, the remedy, is the preaching of God's word. Amen. That's the solution for the hour. Chapter 4, in verse 3 and 4, it says, "The time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." The day Paul was urging Timothy, preach the word. That is the remedy. That is the answer, the solution. There, in the last days, in perilous times, when many are turning away from the truth, in times of apostasy and compromise, the answer is the bold declaration of the word of God. That is the answer, the word of God. Do we have confidence in God's word tonight? Do we believe it can meet the needs of our society, the needs that we have? Do you believe the word of God is the answer, the solution for the problem? So we see here the preaching of the word of God, a very important thing. It ought to be the central part of the work of God. It's a very important thing. Think about Christ. You know, the Bible says he came forth preaching. That was what his life was about, preaching the word of God. And there's a powerful thing that God has ordained with the preaching of his word. It's foolishness, the foolishness of preaching to the world, but it's the power of God, and God uses that. He has chosen it. You know, tonight, any preacher of the Bible needs to commit themselves to the preaching of the word of God. Not their ideas, not what they think, but the word of God. And there's a lot of young men here tonight that know God has called them to be a preacher of the word of God. Well, you know what? We need to commit ourselves anew and afresh, like Paul's charge to Timothy, to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. And let me tell you, the days are going to get worse. And we need to just have it confirmed and settled in our soul that we are going to preach the word of God. You know, we need to be reminded tonight as preachers that we are commanded to preach the word. To preach no matter the condition or the setting we find our world in. We must be more concerned about God than the spirit of the day. And the preaching of the word is the solution for the hour. The preaching of the word rests on the preacher. And finally tonight, I want us to focus thirdly on the preacher of the word of God. And inherent in this text is the person preaching the word of God. The preaching is important, but that comes through a preacher. And Paul is urging and charging Timothy to preach the word. And he gives him a solemn charge. In verse 1, it says there, I charge thee. Those aren't frivolous words. Those aren't light words. No, that has great meaning and depth to it. It's a solemn charge to preach the word. Why is it a solemn charge? Well, look at verse 1. We haven't looked at all of that yet. The audience of the charge reveals the solemnity of it. I charge thee therefore before God. Think of Paul saying this. I charge thee therefore before God. What a charge. What a condition he is giving this in. Before God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The witnesses who are called upon to observe this testimony give it particular solemnity and awe. God the Father, who sent the Son to redeem sinners, is incomparably interested in the proclamation of the gospel. So also is Christ Jesus, who not only died for sinners, but is the judge of all. To him every man must someday give account. For Christ's ministers, the account will concern their faithfulness in performing their responsibility of proclaiming God's word. His appearing and his kingdom are certain and are thus incentives to faithfulness on the part of his ministers. Opposition to the preaching of the gospel will be dealt with and removed. Wow, what an amazing truth as we kind of unwrap that verse there. The audience that Paul was giving this charge in. God, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. And there's a sacred responsibility that we have in handling the word of God that we ought to consider. Because someday we will be judged for how we handled the word of God. It ought to be incentive to faithfulness on the part of his ministers. The audience of this charge, it signifies the weight of this responsibility. It is given before God Almighty. It is something that he is very concerned about. It's a charge that the preacher must embrace. It requires faithfulness to the word of God. You know, the preacher, that's not something to be taken lightly. When we handle the word of God, whether that's in a Sunday school setting or in witnessing to somebody or in standing before the pulpit and or the congregation and preaching the word of God, it is a serious charge that we are following. That charge the preacher must embrace, this solemn charge. And it requires the faithfulness to the word of God. It requires boldness on the part of the preacher. And you know what? It's an important task and role, the preaching of the word of God. And that's why it's so important for God's people to pray for those that preach the word of God. It's particularly pastor as he leads this church, because he has a very sacred, serious responsibility to bring forth the word of God. Want us tonight to look at a Bible example of the faithful declaration of the word of God. And I think this picture will just help clarify it in our mind, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament are powerful examples of preaching the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're not going to read the whole account, but most of us are probably familiar. Here Samuel is serving in the temple, and he goes to bed one night, and he hears someone call his name. And he runs quickly into Samuel, or into Eli, and he said he didn't call him. He goes back. This happens a few times. Eventually, Eli recognizes the Lord in verse 9, that the Lord is calling him. It says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And so God is giving a message to Samuel, and we see previously that the word of God was in the visions, were very important. And so in verse 11, it continues and says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And he goes on to tell Samuel what's going to happen to Eli's house. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. The preacher ought to have a sense of righteous fear in delivering God's message. And that's what Samuel had there. In verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And listen to this next verse. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. But that is the responsibility of the preacher. To declare the word of God, to tell every wit, to hide nothing back. And Samuel was a great prophet of the Lord, and he, that picture that we see there is the picture that is given in preaching the word of God, declaring the word of God, telling every wit. He hid nothing from him. I love the picture that you see there of Samuel giving the word of God to Eli. Don't you think he could have feared what Eli was going to do to him? He could have maybe feared that he was going to kill him or get him, kick him out. But you know what? He gave the message that God had given. And as preachers, that's our responsibility, to give the message. Not our own, not to twist it, not to say, put our own spin on it, but to preach every whit, to hold nothing back. Really, one of my points here of the message is this. You know, there is a great need for Bible preachers today. And what this land needs is an influx of preachers that will preach the word of God. Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They're not going to hear God's word. They're not going to get it and receive it if there isn't somebody to declare it, to stand up and declare the word of God. And maybe you've been called to preach. You know God's put that on your heart and he called you. Don't lose that fervor. Don't lose that fire and that passion that of declaring the word of God, of being used in such a way to declare God's word. In 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop or a pastor, he desireth a good work." And there's a lot of young people here tonight, and maybe you need to consider this opportunity to be a mouthpiece for God, to be the preacher, a preacher of the word of God. You know, it requires a surrender. You have to say, "Lord, I'm going to give up my way. I'm going to give up my will, what I want to do to be your tool, to be your a preacher of the word of God, to preach the word of God." It requires a vision for your life. Oh, I want to see God use me. I can be used of God to preach his word. You know what? There's, you would think with as great as the need is today, there would be just a swarm of people wanting to give themselves to preach the word of God. I don't remember the whole story exactly, but I remember I've heard it said of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. In front of his preacher boys class, I think it was around 1,000 preacher boys back then, he would come up and say, "This is the sorest group of preachers I've ever seen." And he would say, "But I got good news for you. God's hard up these days. And if you would surrender, he would use you." And it's so true. If you would just give yourself to God, he will use you. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to have some great ability. No, God can use you if you just simply surrender and yield to him. And it's a very sacred, important responsibility. And we need to fill our land with preachers that are unashamed to preach the word of God. Well, for maybe some, you need to acknowledge that you need to be a part of a church tonight where the preaching of the word of God is important and the priority. And as long as we're part of this church, we ought to make it certain that that is a priority in this church for years to come, the preaching of the word of God. Maybe you're not really connected to a church where the word of God is preached and declared. You need to be a part of that. You know, there's a lot of churches out there, but not a lot of preaching, not a lot of bold declaration of the word of God where people's lives, they're seeking to change people's lives. There ought to be an earnest desire of God's people to hear the preaching of the word of God. In light of what we've seen here tonight, your attitude, maybe you're not the preacher, don't preach, but you can have an attitude that supports and encourages the preaching of God's word. We ought to be a people that love the preaching of the word of God. And if you ever read about revivals and things like that, working of God, do you know what? The people just longed and craved for the preaching of God's word. They'd preach for hours and the people longed for it. And that ought to be our desire. And I've mentioned and alluded to this, but for those who are preachers of the word or have been called, there needs to be a commitment to preaching the word, a resolve and a commitment to preach the word. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to give themselves to be a preacher of the word. Maybe you sense the Spirit of God drawing you and giving you that desire and that passion. You know what? Tonight, you need to surrender to that. It's a wonderful thing, and you need to surrender to God's plan for your life. And maybe you need to talk to someone. You need to settle that. I hope it's very real in your heart if that's the case. But that's what we need today. And it's a sad sign when our church is not producing preachers. And I'm not saying it's not, but it needs to be. And that ought to be our desire here tonight. So Paul's urge and charge to Timothy was preach the word. It's the powerful word of God. And we ought to love the preaching of it. And there's an important responsibility and task for the preacher of the Word of God. And I trust that these truths will be an encouragement and cause you to love the Word of God and to love the preaching of it even more. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the fire and the fervor of the Apostle Paul as he charges Timothy to preach the Word. Oh Lord, what an important task. What a sacred responsibility. Oh Lord, that is the solution for the hour. That is the need for the apostasy and the compromise of our day, is for people to stand up and boldly declare, unashamedly, the Word of God. Lord, would you correct our attitude if we have arrogant or resistant to the preaching of God's Word. Lord, convict us about that. May we change it. Lord, would you deal with each one of us to love your Word in a greater way, to yield and to have a greater fervor and heart to hear the preaching of God's Word and allowing it to transform and change our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help this church to be a church that delights in the preaching of God's Word, where the preaching of God's Word is the central part of this work. And Lord, we need your help. And I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's a young person or even an adult man that needs to yield to this call to preach the Word of God, there's a great need today, Lord. And I pray that you would raise up many, many more from this church that would be able to take the gospel throughout the world and preach it, and that we would see you use their lives in a powerful way. And maybe even tonight, Lord, would you convince that person of that call that you have on their lives. We'll trust you to do a great work through these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?